Your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 10. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10. We'll read the first 15 verses. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname is Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves. For the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, which when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. May the Lord bless to our hearts tonight the reading of His own precious word. Let's bow in prayer. Father, as we now come to the Word of God, we have it open before us tonight. We pray for the light to shine upon our minds and hearts, to take the Scripture, and may it be known to us. We pray that the Word of truth will rest deep in our hearts. We pray that the Spirit of God will have sway in us to the point where we surrender our will to the will of God. We come to the point of saying, as our Lord did, Not my will, but thine be done. O Father, come this night and stir our hearts and bless us. We thank Thee for the Word of God. We thank Thee for the privilege we have of being in the house of the Lord tonight. We ask that our minds and hearts would be open to the leading of the Holy Ghost. We know we have no confidence in the arm of flesh. Man is weak, but we come, O God, dependent upon Thee. And so I pray tonight that Thou wilt fill me with Thy Spirit and help me to speak as the Lord's messenger with the message of God tonight for Thy people. Pray also for any in our gathering who may be cold in heart, backslidden away from God. Lord, put Thy hand upon them and draw them with the cords of love, and let them come and see that the arms of the Lord are open to receive them. And any today who do not know the Savior, Lord, speak tonight with that powerful voice that is able to awaken those who are dead in trespasses and in sin. Lord, hear us now. Continue with us this night, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 is the text I want to leave with you of chapter 10. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. The topic I want to leave with you is simply serving Christ. Serving Christ. Listen to this. I gave my service, but with heavy heart, and with it went but little love or trust. He was my master. I must serve or die. And so I gave my service, for I must. This is the voice of destiny. Then over the dreary dullness of my road, there came the kindling ray of better thought. I owed my service to a loving God. And so I gave my service, for I ought, is the voice of duty. And lo, the Master made the service sweet. And like a ray of glory from above, there came the knowledge that to serve was joy. And so I give my service, for I love. This is the voice of devotion. What is it for you tonight? Of destiny? Of duty? Or of devotion? The Scripture has many examples of those who served for what they could get from God. There were others who served because of what they could give unto the Lord. Eleazar of Damascus was the servant of Abraham. He was a faithful man. He served for what he could give. Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, was an unfaithful man, for he served for what he could get. Nathan, the prophet to David, was a faithful man because he brought the faithful word to David. He served for what he could give. The Levite from Bethlehem, Judah, of Judges chapter 17, who wandered and came to Micah, if you remember that story, Micah promised to give him 10 shekels and a change of clothing. He became the priest for Micah. He served for what he could get. It is required of a servant that he be found faithful. And I believe that if you're here tonight and you know Christ, then in the recesses of your heart, you desire to be found faithful unto Christ. You would desire at the end of your days to hear those words from the Lord, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." But in order to be found faithful, we must first answer the call to service. We must first answer the call to service. We need to respond to the loving influences of the Holy Spirit upon our lives and come to the point of devoting our bodies, minds, and souls unto Christ in order to see Him working in our life, in order that we will serve to give and not to get. The first thing I want to leave with you tonight is that we are called to active service. Our text says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples. Before any of us can be called unto active service, first we must hear a different call, and that's the call of salvation. And these disciples of the Lord had heard that call before they had responded to the call of God to go out and serve Him. Matthew, the tax collector, as the Lord walked by, said, "Follow me." And he left his money and his tables and went after the Lord. And one by one, Christ went around and He called unto salvation His disciples that were to follow Him. And friend, all of you here tonight who have a desire in your heart to serve Christ and to be involved in active service, you have first come to know Him. But maybe there's someone here and you have never responded to that first call of Christ to you. You have not answered to that leading of the Spirit of God that is calling you to repent of your sin and put your trust in Him. You must answer that first call before you can respond to the second call. Would to God tonight that any who are still halting between two opinions, still wondering, still doubting about your faith, that you would come to rest in Him this very night. I have called it active service because the whole context of this chapter has to do with Christ sending out His disciples for the very purpose. And we are not to be called in reserve for the work of Christ. There are no reserves in this army. If you're called by Christ to serve Him, you are in active service. And the disciples were such. And you know, when we think about our own life and the Lord working in us and through us, the best way to funnel your service is to be involved in the local church. This is exactly what the New Testament has spoken about and talks about. Us being under elders and deacons, to be under the discipline and the guide and direction of the local church so that it can be organized and we can funnel our service for Christ in the right direction. It's a clear teaching of the New Testament. We are called unto active service. But there's something in our text I want you to notice that's very important. And it is this, that we are called unto Him. When He had called unto Him His 12 disciples. Now you may notice that that little word Him is in italics in your Bible. That means it's not directly there in the original. But if you were to turn to Mark's Gospel 3 and verse 13, you'd find the parallel portion, and it says specifically that unto Him. But you would not argue with me that this is found clearly in the context of this verse. Where were the disciples going? Who was calling them? You see, the call to active service is, first of all, believer in your life, a call unto Christ, unto Him. You see, Christian service, it's not a calling unto an ideal or a philosophy. Why, there are many of those. It's not a call to that. It's not a call to a religious system. It's not a call to a denomination. And as much as I love the work of the Free Presbyterian Church, my calling is not to that ministry specifically. My calling must be unto Him. And the same goes for you. For you may be a member of this congregation, but your calling is not to this church, not to this congregation. Your calling, first and foremost, must be unto Him who hath loved you. Unto Him who hath given Himself for you, an offering and a sacrifice unto God, well-pleasing. And it's because He died for you that you are called to serve Him. We are called not to an ideal, to a system or a denomination, but we are called unto the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. We love Him. Our life has been redeemed by Him. And He has called us to serve Him. And when He calls us out, we want to draw near unto Him and to sit at His feet and to learn of Him and to find out more about His way, His person, His work, His life. We are called unto Him. We are to be for Him only. There is to be a singleness of eye in our serving, in our active duty for the Lord. It's called in Romans 12 and 1, total surrender. Because of the presenting of our bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And so being called unto Christ is being called unto Him, and our eye and our focus must be toward the Lord in surrendering our life to Him. Therefore, there needs to be the dedication of our life. But what does that mean? What do we think of when we're talking of dedication of life unto Christ? Well, first of all, I suggest to you, it means that we are to be consecrated unto the Lord. But how often? Once in your life? Are you consecrated when you have come to know the Lord Jesus as Savior? In a sense, in a very real sense, you are consecrated unto God at that time, for you have surrendered your life unto Him. You have given Him your soul. You have prayed, Lord, have mercy upon me and save me. Give me new life. And that life now responds to the Spirit of God. You have that life in you. But there's something beyond that when we talk about consecration. And sometime you will come, believer, to a watershed experience in your life. You will come to a time when the Lord is dealing with your heart and your life. And you are brought to the point of consecrating or of full surrender unto Him. And you're prepared to say, Lord, not my will or my life, but Thine be done. Oh, that is a good thing to seek after. To seek after that surrender, that consecration, that living not for self, but for God only. That consecration that comes as often a watershed experience in the life of the believer. But are we called to consecrate ourselves once in our lifetime? Perhaps we could think about it annually. We just had a tremendous week of prayer this year. The second week of January, getting alone with God every night of the week, hearing the Word of God open to us, and the Lord blessed us, and many of you were blessed. Many folks who perhaps were not in the habit of attending the prayer meeting were coming out to these weeks of prayer, these nights through the week, and getting blessed of the Lord. That would be a time, we could say, of consecrating life unto Him at that annual week of prayer. We could also think about it monthly. We meet around the Lord's table. What a blessed time it is. It is a good thing at that season to come in our worship, to come and to rededicate or reconsecrate our life unto the Lord. Maybe we think about it on a weekly basis, coming to the Lord's house. Do you thank God for the privilege you have of coming to this place to hear the Word of God preached? Do you come with an intent upon your heart to dedicate your life unto Him afresh? Do you know what the Lord Jesus said? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I believe, Christian, that you will find the ultimate joy and communion with your God if you daily consecrate your life unto Him. As you daily say, Lord, take my life, it is not my own. I have been called into active service. I have been called unto Christ. And I want to daily live for you. To daily give my all for the Savior. Consecration is a commitment of our lives to the person and the work of Christ. It's not holding back anything, fearing that we will spend too much of ourselves in giving to God. It is willingly, spending all for Him. Think of Mary when she brought that ointment. It was so precious to her, wasn't it? That alabaster box. And she had to break the box in order to get the ointment out. A lifetime of saving. It was a whole year's wage worth of ointment. And she was prepared to pour that out upon the head of the Christ. What a waste, some would say. It would never be gathered back again. You could not scoop up and take the remainder of the ointment that had poured down on the floor. It would now be contaminated. It would not be worth gathering again. Some would say, there was too little reward to be gained from that. It is gone, spent, wasted. Ah, but friends, the perfume of that ointment still fills the earth today. We have it as a memorial of Mary. And we may keep back to ourselves. We may carefully preserve our time and be selfish with it. We may keep our energy and our resources for family and for self. But we shall have little reward at the end of the day. No honor from it at last. But if we empty our lives in loving and willing sacrifice unto God, then we shall have the lasting blessing, and our lives will really count unto the Lord for eternity. Do not be like Demas, friend. Remember, Paul said of Demas, he loved this present world, and he had forsaken Paul at that time. Do not be like Demas, but rather be surrendered unto the service of Christ. There's also the idea of sacrifice in this, of giving up something that is legitimate for the Lord. We could go into many areas here. Sometimes the service of Christ demands that we give up things. Give up even legitimate things. Things that might be good on another occasion, good at another season, but not good for that particular season. And it requires a sacrifice. Requires giving up something. You've all heard of Super Bowl Sunday. And the shame of churches that have a morning service and then they bring the people back to watch the Super Bowl in their sanctuaries. We have something similar to that today, didn't we? We had the Olympic hockey today. And you know, a great temptation for Christians just to surrender that little bit of themselves and to turn on the television and watch the final game today. And I love hockey as much as the next person does. And I may have desired to do the same thing. But you know, sometimes the work of the Lord and the call to service, it demands a sacrifice. Is it a big sacrifice? Not in the great scheme of things. I don't think too many people would be greatly edified having watched the game today. But you know, there was a degree of sacrifice or of giving up something for the Lord. And so there is a cost connected with that. Whereas at other times it might be fine to watch the game. But on the Lord's day, no. There is suffering in serving Christ. These disciples, they knew what it was. They may not have known the full degree of it when the Lord first sent them out, but they would know later because persecution was sure to come. The Colosseum, the lions, the burning, the torture, the blame for things that went wrong in their cities as the church was developing and growing. Yes, the early Christians endured untold miseries because of their service for Christ. There was suffering involved. We have not gone that road yet, for we have not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. And really, when you equate it, there's very little suffering that any one of us have to go through. Our suffering may be seen and identified in different ways, but it's not the bodily persecution that some people in this very world are going through now, some Christians. In this land to date, we've enjoyed freedom. Thank God for that. But pray for grace. And while we have our freedom, let us pray for others who are at this point in persecution and in bondage or in prison for the cause of the Lord. And then sometimes there is separation. Separation from family and friends. Those who serve God, the mission field, ministers, there is needful for them at times to separate themselves from their loved ones And the separation may mean inconvenience. It may mean sorrow for the time. But the Lord has promised to reward. We are in the active service of Christ, and we're called unto Him. And this active service demands of us. Are you prepared to give what it demands? I want you to think with me, secondly, that the Lord equipped them for the active service. He equipped them. Please look at verse 1 again. And when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power. He gave them power. The Lord did not send out His disciples to fend for themselves, but He gave them the necessary equipment. He gave them the tools to use. He gave them the power that they needed. They were not called for active service and then told to, well, do what you can and hope for the best. It's not what the Lord did. Or He didn't say to them, use your strong arguments and with good debating skills, you'll be able to convince people to come to Christ. No, He didn't say that either. They would never have progressed beyond the street they were living on at that time. They would never have progressed any further if they had to go forward in their own strength. Christ does not require that of us. Because if we're called into His service, He has promised to give us power. As He gave His own disciples here, power. He gave them power, for without it, they could do nothing. The filling of the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential for our active service. John said in his epistle that we have an unction or an anointing from above. And this unction is absolutely essential for us to do the work of Christ. The Lord does not send us out and expect us to work by our own power. The same Spirit that worked in the disciples works in us today for the active service that we have to do. On one of the long afternoons, I remember, through English Bible class, it was a Thursday afternoon. We had classes that went from 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock with Dr. Douglas. He was doing a series of studies through the Holy Spirit, and I remember this one statement he made. I was riveted to my chair when he said it, and really shocked, I suppose, wondering, first of all, could it be true? Is it the reality? He said, most Christians will go through their life having never experienced what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I thought to myself, is that a true statement? Is that possible? Is it possible for God's people to go through their life having never experienced what it is to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Now don't misunderstand me. When you come to Christ, God's Spirit abides in your heart and life. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Oh, but there's something more. There is a filling of the Holy Ghost. Remember when Peter stood up in the day of Pentecost? Scripture says, and Peter, being filled with the Holy Ghost, stood to speak. For the Lord empowers you for service. And the book of Acts is filled with examples of this, and we know it to be true. But I wonder, friends, have you ever asked the Lord to fill you with His Spirit? Have you ever prayed, Lord, I am empty in my life. I need more. I need power to be enabled to serve You better. Have you ever asked the Lord to fill you with His Spirit? Have you ever prayed a prayer? You know, it's not the prayer that's only for ministers or missionaries. That's a misunderstanding. You need to be filled with the Spirit of God to live a daily, victorious Christian life. Yes, in your daily job, whatever the calling of the Lord is for you. We need to experience this on not just a lifetime, or an annual, or a monthly, or a weekly, but on a daily, hourly basis. We need the power of God to be enabled to resist the temptations of Satan. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit if we want to be able to witness for the Lord, to do our daily activity. We need the Spirit of God if we want to have a conscience that is void of offense toward God and toward men, to live and to walk in a holy walk. Thank God, He has given us the power, for He has given to us His Spirit. And He does not send us out without giving us the equipment necessary. Oh, believer, are you longing for something more in your walk with Christ? Then come upon your knees and cry out unto the Lord and say, Lord, You gave these disciples power. I need power for my life. Grant me that power this day. Fill me with Your Spirit. And you will see how God answers that prayer in your life. For if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Spirit to them that ask Him? He gives not by measure, but He gives abundantly. And He satisfies abundantly. Think with me finally, will you, about the substance of this active service. Let's read the verse once more. When He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. You see, their ministry was twofold. It was negative and positive. You'll find that all active service for the Lord contains this. Now, some people will respond that our ministry is not one of contending for the faith, but simply preaching the gospel. Now, well, some ministries do have a focus in certain areas. It is a distorted view of the gospel to say that we only are going to preach the gospel in a positive way. We're not going to deal with it in a negative manner. Because how do you deal with the issue of sin? You see, sin cannot be overlooked. And it's one of those issues that comes on the side of the negative part. And we must deal with sin in order to defend the gospel. Because if I stand or if I minister and deal with every other issue, but I fail to deal with the issue that is presently under attack, then as Luther said, I am both a traitor and a coward unto the gospel of Christ. There is a negative side and a positive side. And the Lord Himself said, if they call the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of His household? Don't be surprised when the world hates you. It hated Christ long before it hates you. And the only reason it hates you is because you are a disciple of the Lord. Because the antagonism that man has against God is vented toward His people. And we saw that very clearly on Friday night. For the blindness of the people who were quite willing to go and take in this show for entertainment, we were the offscouring of the earth. We were likened unto the fundamentalists of Bin Laden's group of September the 11th. We were seen to be those people who were mad by those who passed by. There is a reproach to be borne when you stand for the Lord. That is true. There is a negative side that must be presented. Because the gospel in its fullness contains the negative and the positive. Now note with me the negative in this verse. It was to cast out unclean spirits. To cast out unclean spirits. Now, before the first coming of Christ, there was much demonic activity. And just studying the number of cases that the Lord dealt with in His own ministry is a very strong indicator of that. Much of His casting out, or much of His healing of people, had to do with those who were possessed with unclean spirits. Satan was very active before the first coming of Christ. And then when the Lord did come, and He had victory over the devil at Calvary, it tells us at the end of John's Gospel, it says that He was bound. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And so Satan was bound to a degree at the crucifixion of Christ, for he bruised the head of Satan. He still has a degree of liberty, but he is also bound to this very day. He is on a chain or a leash, and he is only so far that he can go. But you will find traced in history that when gospel light is hidden, demonic power increases. Before the Reformation, the same thing was true. As the Dark Ages had clouded over the gospel light. And yet when the Reformation came and the light sprang again upon the world and Europe, demonic activity was pushed back again. But fearfully, what we see today is an increase in this same power. There is an increase in the working of witchcraft, of the New Age movement, of many other isms that are spreading themselves worldwide. It is true that satanic power is on the increase. But it doesn't seem to matter. Whatever age we live in, there is this idea of casting out devils carries the idea of overcoming power of darkness. And when the gospel is faithfully preached, and when Christ Jesus is lifted up, there will be a rescinding, a pushing back of the devil's kingdom. In fact, the church has the job of spoiling the devil's kingdom. For when the strong man of the house is bound, then we are to go and spoil his house. We are to go and rescue those who are bound in darkness by the power of the devil. And believe me, when you try to take the prey from the mouth of the lion, it is not going to be without danger and without hurt. There was a negative side to their ministry. They had to go and to have power over unclean spirits to cast them out. And when we're involved in active service for Christ, in the preaching and witnessing of the gospel, we can expect opposition. We can also expect results. The work of the gospel necessarily opposes the devil's work. But in this work of exposing and or casting out, there is a great deliverance. Dr. Donald Barnhouse relays this account, the story of a chief from the island of Fiji. An infidel who had come many years later after the missionaries had gone to bring the gospel message there, this infidel had approached this chief of the island of Fiji. And he said to the chief, "It's too bad, you know, the missionaries that had come years ago deceived your people and taught you about this Bible, this old book, being such an important book. You know," he said, "people know much better today. People are enlightened and they now realize that the things in the Bible are not true. It is too bad your people had been deceived." The old chief looked at him and responded. He said, "You see that great stone over there?" And he said, "That is the place where we smash the skulls of people." He said, "You see over there where those other people are standing? That's where an oven was, where we roasted those same people after we had killed them. Now," he said, "we have become the children of God through the preaching of this book." And he said to him, "You should be thankful, sir, for that. For it was not for that case where you're standing today, you would be roasted and eaten." And you see, the response that the chief gave to that man was simply, the light that had come, The deliverance that had come as a result of the devil and the evil ways being cast out of a man, light came in. And freedom came in. And liberty came in. And old ways had gone. Old barbarous ways. Old devilish ways. And this was the result of the power of evil being cast out. My friend, there is liberty and power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it does have the negative side. But notice the positive side. For they went to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. They were not to discriminate against whom they were going to give this healing. They were to go and to preach the gospel to all people. To preach the love of God and the reconciliation that there was through Jesus Christ's atoning blood. To preach that the great physician was able to heal every disease. Was able to free them from every bondage. Free them from the disease and the corruption of sin and grant to them eternal life to as many as would believe. In conclusion tonight, give me your ordinance, religion says. Give me your personality, says Hegel. Give me your mind, says the God of Nietzsche. Give me your reason, says the God of Kant. It therefore remains the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ says, give me thine heart. Do you love the Lord tonight? Do you want to serve Him? Serving Christ is the best vocation that we can have. The Lord may not have His hand upon you to call you to be a missionary or a minister in that full-time capacity or sense. But believer, you are called to serve Christ. You are called into active service. Remember, there are no second places here. There are no reserves here. Everyone is called. But it may be that this word is spoken to your heart tonight. Maybe there's a young person here and God has been dealing with you about surrendering your all to Him for full-time service. Then do not put off. As the Lord has been dealing and working on your heart, surrender your life and your all to Him. Give of your best to the Master. Give Him first place in your heart. I pray that the Lord would use these words tonight and encourage your heart to surrender all unto Him. Let's bow in prayer. If we have been speaking to someone here and perhaps you have been even wandering away from the Lord, backslidden away, and you realize you need to have a touch from God, please feel free to wait behind at the end of the service and we'll take any time we can to speak with you and encourage you and pray with you from the Word of God. See you restored unto the Lord again. And also, if the Lord has been dealing with your heart, young person, and you realize you need to surrender your life, your everything to Him, you feel His touch upon your life and your soul, and you want to commit yourself to Him, well then speak to us at the end of the service and we'll be happy to help you and direct you and give you some direction as to what you can do. And if you don't know Christ, then come and answer that first call, where He is calling you to repent of your sin. Lord, we pray tonight that Thou wilt speak to every heart, each one of us. I pray, O God, Thou wilt help me to come to the place of absolute surrender and commitment unto God. Lord, forgive us for the times where we have gone our own way and desired our own end, and not desire the purpose and the fulfillment of Christ's kingdom. Help us, we pray, O Lord, as we go forward. Pray that each one of us would come to that point of being fully committed as soldiers of the cross. Whether it be a housewife, whether it be a plumber, whatever our vocation may be, O God, let us all be dedicated unto Him. Hear our prayer tonight and bless us now for Jesus' sake. Amen.